Good night, everyone. We continue today in Simen Dalet, finishing up Simen Dalet in Sif Chof Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Lo tiknu netilas yadayim ela lekriyashma b'letfila. Chazal only instituted netilas yadayim, cleaning or washing of hands, for shema and for davening. Aval brachos d'shachris yachol varech kodem netila. But to recite the brachos in the morning, one could go ahead and already make that bracha even before one goes ahead and washes one's hands, with one exception, Elo, Imkinu Yoshin Amitasa Arum. The person is sleeping on his bed, naked, unclothed. Sha'az Asra Lahaskira Shem Achi Inake Osam. At that point in time, a person is not permitted to recite the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless, of course, he first washes his hands. So the Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Nun Tes comments on this kodem netila, the stam yadayim dahinu sheni yodem himaluch lachem ina psulos lebracha vechol shekin ledivrei Torah. Tar mevarchin ala peros vein tzarich netilas dam. So the Mishneh Berurah explains that essentially the only time that there's a problematic, that there's a problem, either going ahead and reciting brachos, is only in a situation where one knows that one's hands are definitively dirty. But lemaisa, again, for purposes of bracha, for purposes of divrei Torah, so the halacha is that one is permitted to go ahead and recite the bracha or to learn even without washing one's hands. It's only dafka for shema and for tefillah that Chazal instituted a blanket hand washing prior to engaging. The Choshkin of the Torah, the Mevarchim, fine. So the Mishneh Berurah says in Sif Samech, the exception, of course, to this is if a person is going in and sleeping naked. So he writes, Sha'az Mistama Yodav Mitunafos Benegias Beisastarim, because the assumption is if a person is sleeping without clothing, then Bepashtos, they touched either unclean or parts of the body that are normally covered. Umabushim Shano Shabe Savar Pasuach. Afilu im yoshem b'malbushim mistama yadav mitunafos kidako l'chachech begufo b'makom zeya. And our present day clothing that has an open neck area, it's also wide on the bottom, let's say a shirt or pants have a larger opening, so the assumption is that person touched covered parts of the body over the course of the night, unclean parts of the body as well. V'davko im yoshin shnas keva ava b'shnas aray ein cheskos o shenaga. This is only if one slept for a significant amount of time, but if one sleep what he calls a shnas aray. So the contemporary post can assume that a shnas aray, let's assume for our purposes today, less than a half hour, then we don't assume that a person touched covered or unclean parts of the body. V'dinam kistam yadayim v'ksherim l'tamu Torah v'lebracha rak l'tfila. So the Mishneh Berurah is highlighting to us is a very interesting halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, which is that the whole concept of netilas yadayim is really for shman, for tefillah. But otherwise, if a person has what we call stam yadayim, meaning that a person does not know his hands to be dirty or his hands to be unclean, a person is permitted to make brachas and a person is permitted to learn even without washing their hands beforehand. So the Mishneh Berurah goes on in Samech Aleph and says, Shinaka osam, bitzroros obichomidi demanki. So remember here, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that if a person was sleeping without clothing, then a person really should wash his hands, clean his hands, prior to even engaging in brachas, as well as divrei Torah. He says, but the Mishneh Berurah says it doesn't have to be with water. It could be with rocks or with any other hard surface that ultimately cleans the hands, as we discussed yesterday. V'adin l'Torah asra b'lei nikayon. Similarly, again, for Talmud Torah, a person should go ahead and clean his hands first, should have some element of nikayon. Now, again, the assumption is that this over here is referring to that a person was sleeping unclothed, and therefore the assumption is that a person touched covered parts of the body or parts of the body that would normally be covered. Therefore, a person needs to clean his hands before learning. So interestingly enough, the Mishneh Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim and the Gra, who seem to indicate that for the purpose of cleanliness, one accomplishes that simply by rubbing one's hands, even on a hard surface, and one does not need water. The only time where one really needs water is for the removal of the ruach ra. U'b'shari tshuvim b'shem azar kasav d'lo yivarich b'li netilas yadayim v'ray l'hach mir b'yesh l'mayim b'ayim l'kaman b'sim n'samach beis siv kotin ches Mishneh Berurah. So the shari tshuva explains the name of the Zohar, that in reality it's not just for shman, for davening, that one should wash their hands, but even for making a bracha. One should really go ahead and wash their hands with water water before making the bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah himself says that when there is regular access to water, certainly one should follow this advice of the Shaarei Tshuva, and one should go and wash one's hands, not only just for davening and for Kriyat Shema and for tefillah, but rather again for brachas and Talmud Torah as well. We now begin Simen Hei. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yichavim bebrachos perush amilos. When one makes a blessing, one should have in mind that they're trying to understand the definition of the words. Kishiyaskir Hashem. So, for example, he says, when a person goes, actually, before we go on, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. So, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Aleph says, Perish Amilos, Kimosha Amru Chazal, Shalo Yisrael Kabracha Mipiv, Ali Yichavin Be'isa Amir, Ve'ivarech Benachos. As Chazal explained, that a person should not simply literally throw a bracha from his mouth, rather, he should have kavana at the time that he's saying it, and he should make the bracha slowly. So he quotes over here from the Sefer Chassidim, who says that when a person goes ahead and washes his hands, or a person makes a bracha on fruit, or on any other mitzvos, that a person should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done an incredible chesed, an incredible kindness to give a person fruit or bread to benefit from, or that God has commanded us to perform the mitzvos, and a person should recognize that it's truly a privilege. And a person should never do anything by rote. A person should not recite brachas as someone who does something in a customary fashion and is saying words without really thinking about their meaning. And it's about this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very upset at Klal Yisrael. V'shalach b'yad Yishayah v'amar ya'an ki nigash ha'amazeh b'fiv u'bisfasav kibduni v'libo rachak mimenu rimeni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are very far. V'ayin sham od ma'asherech b'god la'onosh avarzeh. Therefore, the first thing Shulchan Aruch is teaching us is that when making a bracha, a person should really have kavana. So on the most basic level, although we'll speak about specific intent for the particular bracha, but the Sefer HaChassidim says the most basic havana is a feeling of being privileged, a feeling that it is a privilege either that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me, let's say if I'm making a bracha over food, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a particular food item, or in the case of making brachos over mitzvahs, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me the privilege to perform a mitzvah. But whatever you do, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should not simply recite the brachos by rote. So let's continue in Sif Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Kishiyazkir Hashem, when a person mentions the name of God, Yichavim Perush Kriaso Ba'adnus Shu Adon HaKol. When a person says the name of Hashem, and although it's often written Yud Hey and then Vavin Hey, we pronounce it as Ado and then Noi. So when a person recites that name, a person should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master over everything. That when a person, if a person writes out the name of God as Yud Hey and then Vavin Hey, that a person should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hayahoveviyeh, past, present, and future. Ubaskiro Elokim, and when I recite the name of Elohim, that name represents the strength of God. A person should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong and has the abilities and is the possessor of all strength. So when a person says the name of Adonai, a person should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of everything. If he writes the name of God, the four-letter name of God, Yud Hey and then Vav and Hey, a person should have in mind of the omnipresence of God, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is past, present, and future. And when a person says Elohim, a person should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the possessor of all strength. The Mishnah Berurah comments on this. He says, in Sif Katan Beis, Kriaso Ba'admus, Ki Hashem HaNechbad V'Hanora Asur Likroso Kichsavo. Even though the name of God, for bracha purposes, is often written as Yud Hey and then Vav Hey, we are not permitted to pronounce that name. Kimo Sh'amru Chazal, HaHogas Hashem Ba'osios Inlo Chilik Yom Haba. It's considered to be a lack of respect to go and articulate the actual name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elo Tzarech Likroso. Rather, we have to vocalize it in the way we just said it. Adonai. The Hainu Ha'alef Bechatav Patach. The Aleph should be pronounced with the Chatav Patach. Havalo Bepatach Levad. So not just an A sound, but rather again it's an O sound. O B'shva Levad. V'hadalet B'cholam. V'hanun B'kamatz. The Yad Gish Hayud Shetieni Keres Yaf. That person should put emphasis on the Yud in order that it be recognizable. But rather, even though we're pronouncing it as ado and then noi, when we articulate that word, we should have in mind as if we're saying it yud hey and then vav hey, which of course makes reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of past, present, and future. And it's important to remember that the accent of the word Adonai is on the end. It's at the last syllable of the word. Shahaya. So the Gra writes that in reality you only have to have kavana for the way that the name itself is actually read. Levad b'kriyashma shetzarach lechavin gam kein shehaya ayin sham. O b'makom shenichtav ba'alef dalid, l'kuli alma ein tzarach lechavin elashu adon hakol. Im echad misaper. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it's interesting. So the Mechaber seems to say that even though we're going to pronounce the name of God as Adonai, we're not going to pronounce it as Yud Hei and then Vav Hei. Nevertheless, when we say Adonai, we should have in mind the kavan as if we were saying Yud Hei and then Vav and Hei, which ultimately means that God is past, present, and future. The Mishnah Berurah says, however, not everyone agrees with that. And some explain the only kavana you have to have is for the kavana as the word as it is read, not for kavana as the word as it is written. So he says something very interesting. He says, "Im echad misaper chaz le'Hashem shasalo." If one is retelling the incredible kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me, umitrila maskir shem Hashem, maskir Hashem, and the person actually says the name of God in a way of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the good that he's done, verotze ligmor dvarav masha asalo Hashem, and a person wants to then finish what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him, asr lav siko bedvarim, no one else should interrupt him, shema mitoch kach lo yigmor dvarav, venimtze shehizkir shem shamayim bechinam. So if a person is retelling a certain chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them, and they literally mentioned the name of God, others present should make sure not to interrupt the individuals recounting the story in order that there should not be a hefsek, there should not be any kind of interruption between the original mentioning of the name of God and the conclusion of the praise. On the other hand, if somebody has intention to curse someone, are they going to curse them with the name of God? Nevertheless, it is a mitzvah to interrupt them in order not to allow them to continue to go ahead and recite the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Recite the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of a curse. Let's just begin the first line of Simin Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, we get into the halachos of Birchas Asher Yatzar. So we'll just begin with this first line and then we'll conclude. K'sheyetze mibeis hakisei, when a person leaves the bathroom, yivarech Asher Yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma. A person should go ahead and recite the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has fashioned man with wisdom. So interestingly enough, what the Mechaber is pointing out over here is that the lashon of the bracha sheyatzar es ha'adam b'chachma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created man with incredible wisdom. What's fascinating to note about this, says the Mishnah, says the Shulchan Aruch, is that the wisdom of God is often most apparent after man takes care of his bodily needs. The idea that a person could eat and the body is able to keep that which it needs and is able to secrete and get rid of that which it does not is absolutely amazing. So let's actually just continue on the next page of the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, page 22, the first line. V'yesh mefarshim al shem shaguf dome lenud, mali ruach v'umali nekalim nekavim, kidlekaman b'samach. And others explain that the great chachma, the great wisdom of the body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with, is that the body is compared to a node. A node is like a wineskin, mali ruach, that is filled with air, v'umali nekavim, but yet again it has all the necessary orifices and holes ultimately, again, to allow that which needs to come out from within the body to ultimately exit the body. And of course, again, this chokhmah, this great wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most apparent after one takes care of their most basic needs. But so we will stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem on page 22, the top, in Simin Vav, Emir Tzashem on Sunday, wishing everyone a good Yom Tiv and a good Shabbos.